Open with hymn 367. There's been a lot of enthusiasm around here for a book called A Severe Mercy. And so last night I borrowed a copy and started to read it at about 7:30. And at 4 o'clock this morning, I was still reading it. It's a great book, and I couldn't put it down. And one of the things that was thought-provoking for me was a moment in the book where Davy, a woman in the book, was faced with a conviction of her sin. I began to think about how rarely we allow the conviction of our sin to grab hold of us. We are experts at building defenses, blaming someone else, justifying our actions. In a recent Vespers, Nancy spoke about the highly successful devices that we have to aid us in not having to look at our sin. We talk a lot about our sin, and I suspect that for the most of us, most of the time, it's just talk. We have an intellectual awareness of man's sinful nature. Mankind lives in sin. Mankind's sin is exposed so blatantly and cruelly, and Time, Newsweek, and the newspapers stimulate indignant conversations about the sin in the world. And while we openly acknowledge the conviction of a corporate sin, secretly we harbor the conviction that the world would be a lot better if people were more like ourselves. Carl Menninger has written a very good book entitled Whatever Happened to Sin, in which he claims that we've lost the sense of sin. But the moment comes, I think, for all of us when the defenses break down and the light that exposes mankind's sin suddenly focuses on me. And while corporate sin is very abstract and easy to keep at bay, personal sin is concrete and very painful. And in those moments, I must be repentant and know that I am forgiven. But I also know that I don't understand forgiveness very well, and for me, it's a mystery. In Severe Mercy, the couple who have recently become Christians are discussing the Trinity with a non-believer who says, "You Christians are always taking refuge in mysteries." And the Christians, of course, disagreed. But whether the mysteries are a refuge or not, we do know that they will endure until the day when Christ has promised, "We shall know all things." And until then, they are an integral part of the faith to be wondered at and probably even enjoyed. And whether forgiveness is a mystery for anyone else, I don't know. But for myself, I don't understand how it works. And I know that it doesn't operate the way I'd always thought it did when I was younger. I'd always thought of forgiveness as the great healer. We repent, we're forgiven, and all the unpleasantness is wiped away. As though forgiveness was like a great big chalkboard eraser. But in reality, I find forgiveness to have very definite limitations for me. I'm not deceiving myself as to the power of forgiveness. I know I'm the one who gets in the way. But I can be reminded over and over that I am forgiven, and I think that I believe it, but there always seems to be some unfinished business that the forgiveness hasn't made pleasant. The business of living with the consequences of my sin, the consequences of what I do. We say that we are new every morning and that the old doesn't matter. And I thank God that we are new every morning, but the old does matter. The consequences of my sin breed pain that must be dealt with. The knowledge of forgiveness doesn't restore lost opportunities. So many relationships in which the forgiveness is acknowledged somehow are never the same again. It doesn't remove the pain of seeing the richness of life that my self-centeredness denies, and the pain of becoming so weary with myself, and the pain of the cracks in myself that only seem to get larger. But if forgiveness isn't the divine chalkboard eraser of the consequences of our sin, it does take on the form of grace to enable us to live and grow through them. One way that grace helps us to live with our sin is by freeing us from looking inward, for that can only lead to despair. We don't have to keep looking at our cracks, because through grace our eyes are drawn to the cross. The pain of the consequences of our sin is also the pain of dying, being reborn, and growing. Death and rebirth are the marks of a life in Christ. I have I brought a friend with. Mary Schramm dubbed him Mr. Bobcat. And we found him down at Lucerne. He was wedged beneath a pipe in the wall of the outside of a house and evidently had gotten caught in there and couldn't get out. But the signs of agony and pain in his death are written in every bone in his body. And when I look at him, I ask myself why death should be any less painful for me. But the pain of sin is accompanied by the grace of God and the assurance that he is there in the midst of it. Through grace, the pain also becomes a gift, for it drives us to our knees, and it is only then that Christ can break through to us. It is only when we are broken and see ourselves in the unkind light of our sin that our ears can hear the gospel. Edna Hong, in her book Turn Over Any Stone, calls it a wound of grace. And I suppose that C.S. Lewis would call it a severe mercy. That we must be so severely wounded in order to see and hear. A poem in Severe Mercy says, "If everything is lost, thanks be to God. If I must see it go, watch it fade away, die, thanks be to God that he is all I have." Also, through grace, we know that the gap between what we are and what we ought to be has been bridged by Christ's righteousness. His righteousness becomes ours, and so even the gap that still exists, in the words of Al Rognes, becomes something that we can struggle with, laugh at, weep over, and yet not be destroyed by. We are free to live in the knowledge of the consequences of our sin, in the pain of the consequences of our sin, while still being freed from bondage to them. We may live under the power of Satan, but Christ is the victor. But by far the greatest gift in the pain of our sin is the strong assurance we have that he who gave us life in him will keep us in it. He still calls us by name, and we shall never be separated from his presence. We've heard this passage from Romans a lot this year, but it never seems to lose its impact. In spite of all, overwhelming victory is ours through him who loved us. For I am convinced that there is nothing in death or life, in the realm of spirits or superhuman powers, in the world as it is or the world as it shall be, in the forces of the universe, in heights or depths, nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somehow, in its mystery, forgiveness works its healing so that even in the light of our sin and the pain of what we cause, we live in all the fullness of God. I'm reading from Ephesians 1. "For in Christ our release is secured, and our sins are forgiven through the shedding of his blood. Therein lies the richness of God's free grace lavished upon us." Amen. Let's sing hymn 385. Let us pray. O God, with whom there is no darkness, but the night shineth as the day, keep and defend us and all thy children in soul and body during the coming night. Make us to rest in the peace of a good conscience, in the hope of a better life, in the faith of thy providence, and in the comfort of thy love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.